how that could
see ya.
Test.
Good morning. I guess it's loud enough. You're right. Yeah, good morning to everybody. I have a few announcements to make. Just a reminder that the council meeting is Monday, February 7th at 7 p.m. Also, there's going to be a membership class that will be today following the church. And also to receive our text alerts and prayer requests, please sign up at the table in the narthex. Please use the numbers that you used last year, if at all possible. Some of them I know people have taken, but see if you can do that. That helps a bunch. We want to thank you for all that attended the chili cook-off. We received $527 in donations for the WANA program, which is greatly needed, by the way. Special thanks to those who helped in the kitchen. We never have enough help in the kitchen, that's for sure, and the cleanup in general. Congratulations to Rebecca, excuse me, Frederick, first place winner, John Ricketts, second place winner. And if anybody else has anything else that needs to be added, please step forward or stand up and let me know. Okay. If not, as the worship team steps forward or comes forward, let's bow our head and pray. Dear Lord, we just come before you and with a thankful heart. We thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for the fact that we get to share this message with our church family. Father, we just thank you for the fact that like in some countries, this wouldn't be able to be happen. Here we are, able to share our belief in God openly in Christ. Father, I've noticed that on the bulletin, there's over 24 people that are needing prayer. And Father, we just come before you with a thankful heart, but we also come before you and realize that your healing hand is the same as it was in the past. And we ask that you touch and heal these people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As we stand to sing this morning, I'm asking that you take the hymn book out of the pews because the screen did not cooperate with us this morning. So we had to choose different songs, and we're singing from the hymn book. So our first song is Love Lifted Me, page 505. Now we're going to turn to page 29, Glorify Thy Name. And truly, we must glorify His name at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's turn to page 67, The Love of God. Seated.
Thank you, guys. And thank you, everyone, for being flexible this morning. I don't think that's what anybody expected this morning walking in, is to have the problems with the system. But good morning. Man, what a beautiful day. That's all I could think of as I was walking in. I'm like, this feels great. I also want to take a moment to say thank you to Johnny for taking last week, for giving me the opportunity to just worship with you guys and just to be fed myself. And before we get into today's message, let's just take a minute in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for today. We want to thank you for the opportunity we have to come together, and that we have this ability to join as a family to praise and worship you. Father, I ask that each one of our hearts be open this morning, that we may learn more about you. Father, we ask that be your words that are spoken and not mine. And if anything that is said is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. But if it is of you, may it penetrate even the hardest of hearts. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Over the last couple of weeks, we got into a new series called We Believe, where we've looked at different areas of what we believe as a church. You know, we started off with looking at who God was, and we spoke about how God has revealed himself to each of us in three distinct forms. Each one equal, yet each one separate, and each one fully God. Last time that I spoke, we talked about the Godhead, the first one. We called him the Father, is what we refer it to. We spoke about how he put the world into motion, how he directs everything. We spoke about how he sent the Son and how he created each one of us uniquely. We spoke about how since the fall of man, the Father has been working on restoring his creation to himself. And we spoke about the love that the Father has. So much so that he sent his own Son to die in our place, to make a way for each of us to be reconciled to him. And that through his Son's death, burial, and resurrection, that we're saved and brings us back to the Father. This week, we're going to look at the second person of the Godhead, or Trinity, as some call it, Jesus, the Son of God, or Christ, as some of you know him as well. In a 1994 issue of Life magazine, the cover stated, Jesus, who was he? You see, if we look around the world and all the people who have lived on this planet throughout history, no one has had an impact on life quite like Jesus has. This gentleman by the name of John, he's a Christian author and apologist, estimated that of all the people who ever lived in recorded history, about 30 billion have lived on this planet we call Earth. Of those billions, only a handful have ever risen to such prominence that could have affected and do affect human history. And among that handful, one name stands out above all of them, and that's Jesus himself. No other person has attracted so much attention, devotion, criticism, adoration, and full-out opposition as Jesus did and still does. He's the main point for most theological discussions. There has been but no other person throughout our history that has been studied as much by philosophers and historians alike. Here was a man who lived in the flesh around 2,000 years ago from a small town in Bethlehem, from young parents in a small country called Israel, that even at the moment in time when he came, was not even ruled by its own people anymore. Yet for centuries, his birth divided the years from B.C. and A.D., Jesus' public ministry only lasted for 3 years. Yet today, his message travels around the world via radio, TV, and the internet. I heard it said he had no formal education, yet his life caused the founding of more colleges, seminaries, universities than any other person throughout history. Yale, Harvard, all of them that we think of so well, they all started as seminaries. The amount of hospitals, orphanages, and schools, and other things that have been done and built in his name is incredible. At any given point in time, there are millions of people studying his words around the world. And as Adrian Rogers puts it, to explain him is impossible. To ignore him is disastrous. To refuse him is fatal. My speech is too limited to describe him. My human mind too finite to comprehend him. My heart too small to contain all the love that the Lord Jesus has. When you think about Jesus, who do you say he is? When we ask people to explain Jesus, we're going to get a number of different answers. Depending on who you ask, and if they're a Christian or not. If we were to ask around our society, our city, everything here, even in Mount Carroll, you're going to find a bunch of answers, some that we agree with, some we don't. Some such as Savior, Lord. Some may even say God. Some will think back to the manger and think of the reason that we celebrate Christmas, and they only think of the little baby Jesus. And others are going to point forward to the cross and Easter that's coming around the corner. On the other hand, you're going to find people will say that he was nothing more than good or a great teacher, but that he wasn't God. Others will say that he's a man who showed us how to live a good life. But there are some who will say that he never even existed. Even though that number is getting smaller and smaller, history has shown us, documentation has shown us, that Christ is real and that he lived. Legendary Ministry did a poll back in 2020 where they found that 52% of Americans don't believe that Jesus was God. 52% don't believe that Jesus himself was God. What's even more startling, though, on that is one-third of evangelicals, we would be considered evangelicals, don't profess that Jesus is God. And I wonder why. Where have we lost it, church? But who do you say Jesus is? What we do know about Jesus is we believe that Jesus has been active since the creation of the world. He's the second person in the Godhead. Jesus has always existed and has always been and always will be. In John 17, 4 and 5, it says, I have glorified you on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world existed. Jesus was already with the Father before the creation of the world. He has been and always will be. In John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This Word is referring to Jesus himself. We believe that Jesus is one with the Father and that he is fully God. Some will say that Jesus is nothing but a special agent of God, or a reflection or a product of God. Some such as like the Jehovah's Witnesses claim that Jesus is nothing more than the Archangel Michael. And trust me, they have to stretch the scriptures very far to get there. But we know this is not true. See, Jesus himself says in John 10:30, I and the Father are one. So we know that the Father and Jesus are the same. In John 14:8, it says, we have Philip said, show us the Father, and that's enough for us. And Jesus responds to him in verse 9 through 10. Have I been among you all this time and you do not know me? Philip, the one who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who lives in me and does his work. You see, it's through Jesus that we get to know the Father. We talked about how the Father is always calling us home. It's through Jesus that God shows himself to man, enabling us to rightly and truly know God himself. We often look at God as this distant figure, but Jesus was God coming directly to us and walking with us. Not just putting the world into motion and taking his hands-off approach, but physically coming down and engaging and pursuing his creation, down to the point that he was willing to take on human flesh, come to the earth, and live a life with us, facing the same challenges we do. You see, we know that Jesus was God, but we also know that he was fully man. See, we celebrate Christmas just over a month ago, and where we celebrated the fact that Jesus came, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin, entering the world the same way you and I do. He didn't just miraculously appear at a certain age. Jesus was born into the world and had to face the same things you and I do. He went through trials throughout his whole life, just like you and I. He experienced heartbreak through his life here on earth. He had close friends die. He had people turn their backs on him. He was mocked. He was whipped. He was beaten. And you may be wondering why he went through all this. Well, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 2:17, therefore, he had to be like his brothers and sisters in every way so that he could become a merciful and faithful high priest in matters pertaining to God to make an atonement for the sins of the people. He came to make an acceptable sacrifice on our behalf. But also, he had to be like us in every way to do it. And he did it so that when you and I face judgment day and we stand in front of God, we can hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Jesus took our broken form of humanity that had fallen all the way back in the Garden of Eden. He took the flesh in order to redeem us. You see, after the fall of man, there became this divide between man and God. You see, it's what sin is what separates us from God. In Isaiah 59:2, it says, but your iniquities are separating you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so he doesn't listen. We have to remember that God is a holy God, and he cannot accept anything less than perfection. Habakkuk 1:13, in the beginning it says, your eyes are too pure to look on evil, and you cannot tolerate wrongdoing. God can't look onto evil. Yet, we know that God created man to commune with him. He created man in his image. And since the fall of man, he has worked to restore us to him. It's like any parent. If your child goes astray, are you not trying to bring that child back? Are you not reaching out for your child at all times, trying to protect them of everything? If we go back to the Old Testament, we see that God laid out these different laws and guidelines for man to follow. It wasn't because he was trying to be a restrictive God. It's because he knew what was good for us. In fact, there's over 600 of these laws in place. And God knew there was no way for man to be able to keep these laws. We were too bound by our flesh and desires. We would fall flat on our face. But God was a holy God who could not settle for anything less than holiness and perfection. So what did God do? He set up a sacrificial system for temporary atonement. See, there had to be bloodshed for the sin of man. We go back to Genesis 3, we see that animals were being killed for clothing to cover the shame of nakedness for Adam and Eve. In Genesis 8, we see that Noah gave an animal sacrifice after the ark came to rest and the waters departed. God commanded the nations of Israel to perform numerous sacrifices according to certain procedures prescribed by God. First, the animal had to be spotless. Second, the person offering the sacrifice had to identify with the animal and confess their sins. And third, the person offering the animal had to inflict the death upon it. When done in faith, this sacrifice provided a temporary covering of their sin. Another sacrifice called the Day of Atonement, described in Leviticus 16, demonstrates the forgiveness and removal of sin. The high priest was to take two male goats for a sin offering. One of the goats was sacrificed as a sin offering and the other people for the people of Israel, while the other goat was released into the wilderness. The sin offering provided forgiveness, while the goat provided the removal of sin. You may be asking yourself, why animals? What did the animals do wrong in any of this? If you're like me, you like animals. That's the point. Animals don't sin. Animals don't know. Animals did no wrong. But they died in the place of the one that needed the sacrifice. The problem here comes is that man continues to sin even after. Needing to continue the sacrifice over and over. This was a point to the need of a Savior. This is God's way of pointing that there needed to be a Savior in a once and for all sacrifice. And that's where Jesus comes in. He became the high priest that made the sacrifice for the whole world. Just like the high priest that we're directed to in the Old Testament. Hebrews 3:1, it says, "Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle, the high priest of your confession. He came this way to be like us so that we might become like him in his perfection, in his perfect humanity, that if we confess with our mouths, he wipes away our sins." Though you and I are unable to live this perfect life that God calls for us, Jesus was able to. And not without trials, not without facing temptation or evil, just like you and I do. Hebrews 4:15 tells us, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way as we are, yet he's without sin." Jesus fully understands what we go through. He faced the same things. But he was able to do what you and I can't. See, no matter how hard we try to be good, no matter how hard you and I try to be perfect, there's no way on this side of heaven that we'll achieve that. We can't do it. Just can't. If you look back on your life, I don't need an actual answer from you guys, but just think about this. How many times have you sinned? How many times have you screwed up even when you said, "I'm not going to do that anymore"? The abundance, we could probably fill library after library if we just started writing it down in 8 font, 6 font, right? We all get plagued by the same sin of our past over and over at times. But there's good news. Jesus died on the cross to take the sin of the world. Amen. So we don't have to. He was the final sacrifice. John the Baptist actually said when he saw him in John 1:29, the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him, and what did he say? "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He saw Jesus as that final sacrifice. He realized who that was. Jesus became the sacrificial lamb. He became that final sin offering. Jesus, being fully God and fully man, showed the deep love he had for us. Trusting in obedience to the Father, he willingly laid down his life in our place, dying the death that we deserve, taking our punishment on the cross, taking away our sins, and here's the greatest thing of all. On top of that, 3 days later, he broke death's hold by raising from the grave, creating a new and everlasting covenant between mankind and God. 1 Corinthians 15:21 through 22 tells us, "For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also came through a man. For just as Adam all die, so also in Christ we are all made alive." We no longer have to fear death. We no longer have to worry about the sin of our past. Jesus has already taken care of it. He's made a way for us to restore back to the Father. In Colossians 1:22 to 23, it says, "But now he has reconciled you by his physical body through his death to present you holy, faultless, and blameless before him. If indeed you remain grounded and steadfast in faith and are not shifted away from the hope of the gospel that you heard, the gospel has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and I, Paul, have become a servant of it." So when that judgment day comes and we see Jesus and he's presenting us holy, faultless, and blameless in front of our heavenly Father, we get to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But the kick is, we have to accept the gift that Jesus gave. It's not forced on any of us. We have to be willingly accept the gift of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. So who do you say Jesus is? Who do you proclaim him to be? Well, I say Jesus is fully God, yet he's fully man. I say there's never been anyone like him, and there will never be anyone like him again. He is God himself, coming to this earth as a baby, who lived the same life that you and I did, faced the same trials that you and I do, but was able to overcome those and not fall into the sin. He willingly submitted to the Father in heaven, to the point of going to the cross for you and I. Some of you may remember from previous readings that when Jesus was at the garden just before they captured him, he sat there and he prayed fervently that God would remove this cup from him if at all possible. And what did God, and what did he say after that, after he's prayed that? But your will be done. See, Jesus is also our example on how we live our life. He's the one who directs us. If we have questions, we can open up this book right here. His words are right in here. And it guides us for each step of our lives. He made a way for you and I to reunite with the Father, and he removed that bondage of sin. All we have to do is accept that free gift of salvation that comes through Jesus himself. I'm going to repeat what Adrian Rogers said here in closing, what I said earlier. To fully explain Jesus, and this is what he says, to explain him is impossible, meaning we can't fully explain it ourselves. But if we ignore him, it's disastrous. If we refuse him, it is our death. My speech is too limited to describe him, my human mind too finite to comprehend him, my heart too small to contain all the love that our Lord Jesus has. If you haven't considered Jesus before, I want to encourage you to consider him today before you leave. He's made a way for us to return back to the Father. He's made a way for us to commune with him again. That it's not ourselves that gets us into heaven. It's not our works. It's not about how good of a life you've lived. It's simply Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this morning. Father, we want to thank you for your Son and the love that you showed us by sending him. And Father, we also want to thank you for his willingness to take up that burden of the cross and to die in our place, giving each of us hope again that we can be reconciled with you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Shall we stand and turn to page 332, Without Him? And truly, I thank the Lord that he changed our songs, because how well this fits into our message. Without him, we can do nothing, and we surely cannot. Page 332.
Jesus, we're
May you remember Jesus as you head out this week. May you remember what he did on that cross for you and I. And may we be examples to our community around us and be that light that we are called to be. God bless. Have a wonderful week.